Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Imagine this, more than half of all the proteins circulating in your blood right now are carrying a kind of secret message. They're decorated with these intricate sugar structures called glycans. Think of them like tiny personalized sugar codes. Now here's the really surprising part. What if these hidden codes could actually offer profound insights into your health? What if they could, say, predict serious conditions like liver disease or chronic inflammation, not just months ahead, but maybe years, even decades before symptoms really start to show?
It's a truly fascinating area. And, you know, for a long time, we've seen these links. When these sugar structures go wrong, aberrant glycosylation, we call it, it's clearly linked to a whole host of diseases, liver, cardiometabolic, immune issues. The list keeps growing.
Right. But the how has been the mystery, how our own genes actually direct this whole process.
Exactly. Our understanding of how genes orchestrate these complex sugar patterns has been, well, pretty limited.
But that's what are changing now. Mm-hmm. And that's what this deep dive is all about, how cutting-edge genomic research is finally starting to crack these hidden connections. So the big question really is, how could unlocking the genetic blueprint of these tiny sugar molecules completely revolutionize, you know, our whole approach to health and personalized medicine? Mm-hmm. Today, we're really celebrating some trailblazing work by a big collaborative team. We're talking researchers like Sadbo Sharipov and Timoshchuk, Yuri Yeselchenko, and Gordon Loff. They come from great institutions, the MSU Institute for Artificial Intelligence, Genos Glycoscience Research Laboratory, King's College London, a real international effort.
Yes, their work has really pushed forward our understanding of how genes regulate this process, plasma and glycosylation, and crucially, how it ties into major diseases.
Okay, so let's zoom in on that term, N-glycosylation. What exactly is it?
Right. So think of it as a critical post-production step for proteins. After your DNA tells the cell how to build a protein, N-glycosylation is where these complex carbohydrates, the glycans, get precisely attached. And they're not just, you know, sprinkled on randomly. They're specific structures, covalently bonded. It's incredibly common, too. Over half the proteins in your blood plasma have these N-glycans.
Wow, over half. That includes some really important ones, right?
Oh, absolutely. We're talking essential players. Enzymes, hormones, antibodies, receptors, basically like a lot of the workhorses that keep your body running smoothly.
So these sugar tags, they're not just decoration then. They're actually fundamental to how the protein works.
Precisely. Glycans can dramatically change a protein's physical properties, its stability, how it folds, who it interacts with, fundamentally altering its biological function. For normal physiology, you need adequate glycosylation. It's essential. But when it goes awry, this aberrant glycosylation, that's when we see it implicated in so many diseases.
Like what kinds of diseases?
Well, everything from cancer and diabetes to inflammatory conditions and autoimmune disorders, which of course makes these glycans really interesting, their potential therapeutic targets, and maybe even more immediately, potentially valuable biomarkers for early detection.
That makes a lot of sense. But if it's so important, why has it been so hard to study genetically? I mean, genes code for proteins directly, right? This feels one step removed. Is it more complicated?
That's a great way to put it. It is more complicated. Unlike proteins, where the primary amino acid sequence is directly read from your DNA, the specific patterns and amounts of these N-glycans are not directly encoded. Instead, they emerge from this really complex interplay. Think of a whole network of enzymes that build and trim the glycans, the availability of the sugar building blocks themselves, other cellular processes.
Almost like an assembly line with lots of optional steps.
Kind of, yeah. And all of this is influenced by your underlying genetics, sure, but also epigenetic factors, your environment, your diet. It's a whole system. It's definitely not a simple DNA to glycan blueprint.
Fascinating complexity. So given that, where do these N-glycosylated proteins we find in the blood actually come from? Are there specific factories?
Primarily, yes. The liver is a major source. And B cells, which are key immune cells found in your lymphoid tissues, are the other big producers of the glycoprotein circulating in your blood.
Okay, so liver and B cells.
Right, which means the N-glycan patterns we measure in a blood sample act like a really important mirror. They reflect the health and activity of those two critical tissues. So Understanding how glycosylation is regulated gives us insights into liver diseases, B-cell-related conditions, but also broader things like cardiometabolic and inflammatory diseases.
And before this study, we only had a partial picture.
A very partial picture. Previous GWS, those genome-wide scans, had found maybe 15 to 19 genetic regions linked to N-glycans. But a really comprehensive map of the specific gene regulators in health and disease, that was missing. And that's the gap this study aimed to fill.
All right, so let's talk about how they tackled this massive challenge. The scale here is just remarkable. This was the largest ever genome-wide association study, specifically looking at N-glycosylation of the entire blood plasma proteome. And the numbers, over 10,000 people, right?
Mm-hmm.
10,764 participants from 7 international cohorts. That's just huge.
It's an unprecedented scale for this kind of work.
Yeah.
And to handle it, they didn't just look at one or two glycans. They meticulously measured 36 directly observed N-glycan structures. And then using those direct measurements, they computationally derived another 81 related traits. So in total, they had 117 different glycan traits, each representing different facets of these complex biosynthesis pathways.
Okay, 117 glycan traits. How do they connect that level of detail back to our DNA? How do you map sugar patterns to genes?
They use a really powerful technique, a genome-wide association meta-analysis, or GWAMA. Essentially, it lets you combine genetic data from multiple studies, multiple cohorts, which dramatically boosts your statistical power.
So you can find smaller effects, subtler links.
Exactly. They ran GWAMA for single traits looking at genetic links to each of the 117 glycan traits individually, and also multi-trait GWS, which is clever because it can spot genetic variants that influence several glycan traits at once, maybe pointing to genes acting earlier in the pathway.
But finding a genetic region isn't the same as finding the specific gene responsible, right? How did they pinpoint the actual culprits?
No, it's not. And that's where their gene prioritization strategy was really sophisticated. They didn't just stop at the broad location. They integrated 8 different lines of evidence to really zoom in on the most likely causal genes.
8 lines? Like what?
Well, things like checking if the gene encoded a known glycosylation enzyme or if it was linked to rare congenital glycosylation disorders.
Mm-hmm.
But crucially, they used colocalization analysis.
Colocalization. What's that checking for?
It's looking for overlaps. Does the same genetic variant that affects a glycan level also affect the expression level of a nearby gene that's an EQTL or the level of the protein that gene produces a PQTL?
Ah, so if the signals for glycan levels, gene expression, and protein levels all peak at the exact same genetic spot.
Bingo. It strongly suggests that variant is driving all 3 through that specific gene. They also looked at detailed variant annotation. Does the variant actually change the protein? This multi-pronged approach gave them much higher confidence in naming the likely causal genes.
Okay, that's some serious genetic detective work. So they found these genes linked to glycans. How did they then connect that to actual human health and disease? How do you make that leap?
That's the critical next step. They used several advanced methods. First, a phenom-wide association study, or PHEWAS.
Phenom-wide. So looking across thousands of traits.
Exactly. They checked if the genetic variants they found linked to glycans also showed associations with over 1,000 different diseases and quantitative traits, basically, scanning across the entire human phenomena for connections. Second, they calculated polygenic scores for the N-glycan traits.
Polygenic scores. Remind me what those are.
Think of it as a single score summarizing someone's overall genetic tendency towards a particular glycan pattern based on contributions from many, many genetic variants across the genome.
Okay.
They then took these glycan and polygenic scores and tested if they were associated with diagnosed diseases using ICD-10 codes in that huge UK biobank dataset, nearly 374,000 people. That gives you real-world disease relevance.
Wow, okay.
And third, and this is really important for getting at cause and effect, they used bidirectional Mendelian randomization, or MSM.
Mendelian randomization that uses genes as sort of natural experiments, right?
Precisely. It helps you infer causality. Does changing the glycan level cause the disease? Or does having the disease cause changes in the glycan levels? Or is there just some shared underlying factor? MR helps untangle that.
Right. So after deploying all this methodology, this huge scale, these clever analyses, what did they actually find? What are the headline results?
the biggest headline. They more than doubled the number of known genetic loci associated with blood and glycosylation. They found 16 entirely new genomic regions linked to these sugar patterns.
16 new ones.
Yes. And from those, they prioritized 13 novel candidate genes that likely play a causal role. This is a massive leap in our fundamental understanding of how this process is genetically controlled.
That really is a huge jump. Can you give us some examples of these newly implicated genes?
Sure. Some of the key new players include genes like GCKR, TRP1, HP, SERPINA1, and CFH. What's really striking is that many of these are primarily active in the liver.
Ah, connecting back to the liver being a major source.
Exactly. And this work established, really for the first time, a direct genetic link between plasma and glycosylation, metabolic diseases, and liver health. For instance, common genetic variants near GCKR and TRIG1 genes, we already knew, increase risk for fatty liver disease, MASLD, while those variants colocalize with glycan levels.
Meaning the same genetic variations influence both fatty liver risk and the sugar codes.
Precisely. It suggests a shared pathway. Same for SERPINA1, which is linked to alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency and liver problems again. A direct genetic link to glycan patterns emerged.
Okay, so a clear genetic bridge between glycans and liver health. You also mentioned anti-inflammatory proteins.
Yes, another key finding. They linked four novel genes that code for important anti-inflammatory proteins, HP, haptoglobin, HPR, haptoglobin-related protein, SERPINA1 again, and CFH, complement factor H, directly to N-glycosylation. And crucially, the Mendelian randomization showed causality. Variations in the levels of proteins like CFH and HP were shown to causally influence their own N-glycan structures. It's not just correlation. The amount of protein directly impacts its sugar decorations.
That's quite a direct feedback loop.
It is. And maybe one of the most profound insights was the tissue specificity they uncovered. The genetic control of plasma N-glycosylation isn't uniform across the body. It's highly specific, primarily happening in lymphoid tissue, so B cells, and liver tissue, hepatocytes.
So the genetic switches are different in different places.
Even for the same gene. Take glycosyltransferase genes like FUT8 and FUT6. They are expressed in both liver and B cells. They help attach sugars in both places. But the specific genetic variants controlling their impact on N-glycosylation were different in each tissue.
Wow.
It's like having the same tool, but different instruction manuals for how to use it, depending on whether you're in the liver workshop or the B cell workshop.
Right.
This level of tissue-specific genetic regulation for glycosylation wasn't really appreciated before.
That's incredibly detailed. So bringing it back to health outcomes, how did these molecular findings translate? What did the polygenic scores show for actual diseases? Well, that part was striking too. Polygenic scores for having higher levels of high mannose glycans, things like M9, M-total, were positively associated with several cardiovascular diseases. Mm. Essential hypertension, ischemic heart disease, angina, high lipids. So more high mannose, higher cardiovascular risk. That's what the association suggests. Also linked positively to type 1 diabetes and asthma. But then conversely, scores for higher levels of galactosylated glycans, different sugar structures, were negatively associated with obesity, lipoprotein disorders, primary hypertension, and type 2 diabetes.
So the type of glycan pattern really matters for disease risk association. And the Mendelian randomization added that causal layer. For instance, they found evidence that disorders of lipoprotein metabolism, basically, problems processing fats, actually causally increase those high mannose glycans, M9 and M-total.
So the metabolic problem directly drives changes in those specific sugars.
That's what the MR suggests, yes. It could be a consequence of the disrupted lipid processing, or maybe even contribute to it. They also found a causal effect of increased M6 glycan on asthma risk.
Specifically M6 on asthma.
Yes. And another interesting liver link. Certain glycan patterns specifically, higher A3G, 3S3, and lower antennary fucosylated glycans were associated with lower levels of AST, which is a marker of liver cell damage. This hints these glycans might play a protective role in liver physiology.
Okay, let's try to synthesize this. This study really blows open our understanding of the genetic playbook controlling our plasma and glycan.
Yeah.
And crucially, it draws these direct genetic lines connecting glycan patterns to liver disease and inflammation for the first time.
Right. And it's not just drawing lines, it's suggesting shared mechanisms. When you see glycans linked to GCKR and TRIB1, it means the genetic risk for fatty liver disease is biologically intertwined with how proteins get glycosylated and elevated high mannose glycans. that might reflect problems inside the cell, like in the Golgi apparatus where proteins get processed. Or maybe it reflects higher levels of certain carrier proteins like ApoB100, which itself is tied to lipid disorders and heart disease. It gives us clues about the underlying biology.
So this opens up real possibilities for the future, doesn't it? For diagnostics, maybe even therapies.
Absolutely. This knowledge is fuel for discovering new glycan-based biomarkers. You can't imagine blood tests looking at specific sugar codes to predict disease risk much earlier or track how someone's responding to treatment. And beyond biomarkers, it points towards new research avenues. If we know which genes control specific glycan features linked to disease, we can investigate those pathways much more closely. That could potentially lead to new therapeutic targets, ways to intervene, and maybe correct problematic glycosylation.
And that tissue specificity finding seems critical for future work, too.
It's fundamental. Knowing that the genetic regulation is different in the liver versus B cells, even for the same enzymes, is huge. It tells us we need to think about these processes in a very context-specific way. It's a much more nuanced picture than we had before.
Of course, no study is perfect.
Yeah.
Were there limitations or areas where more research is clearly needed?
Sure. While the study was massive, they noted statistical power was still a limitation for establishing causal links for everything. For example, they didn't see strong causal evidence linking glycans to some other common liver enzymes like ALT, ALP, GGT, or NAFLD specifically. That might just need even larger studies or different approaches. And it highlights the need for future work to look at the glycosylation of individual proteins, not just the whole mix in the plasma. That would give even finer detail. Plus, there's potential for computational methods to sort of deconvolve the bulk data we have now.
So wrapping this up, the big take-home message is what? In a nutshell, this massive study revealed that these complex sugar structures on our blood proteins, the N-glycans, are under surprisingly strong and very tissue-specific genetic control. And crucially, it established clear genetic links between these glycans and major health issues like metabolic disorders, liver disease, and inflammation.
Right. And what that really means is your genes don't just decide which proteins you make, but also provide instructions for how they get decorated with these vital sugar molecules. It's a whole other layer of biological information. And unlocking that layer opens up totally new possibilities for biomarkers, predicting risk earlier, and potentially for guiding new therapies by understanding and maybe even manipulating these intricate sugar codes.
It's quite something to think about a future where a simple test of your sugar code could give early warnings or guide personalized treatments.
That's the direction this points towards.
A fascinating look at a hidden layer of our biology. What might your own sugar code reveal about your health journey ahead? Definitely food for thought. This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this analysis, the best way to support Base by Base is to subscribe or follow in your favorite podcast app and leave us a 5-star rating. It only takes a few seconds, but makes a huge difference in helping others discover the show. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, Base by Base.